You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show, episode 22. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We're here tonight to preview the NBA playoffs, which start on Saturday. We are recording this Thursday night. You'll probably hear this. If you're not watching live, you'll hear it on the podcast on Friday morning. Of course, we'll be on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and all the other podcast services. We've got a pretty jam-packed show here, so I'm not going to waste any time with the long intro. We're just going to bring on Brandon Bailey. He used to write for goingfor2.com. Life kind of got in the way. He hasn't had a chance to write for us in quite a while, but he's still an NBA expert, and I thought I'd bring him on tonight to talk about some NBA playoffs. Brandon, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How have you been?
I've been all right, man. I'm just waiting for these playoffs, man. I know you play daily fantasy like me, and it's been a nightmare these last few weeks with all the resting and the late scratches and everything else. Is, you know, the guys that we're playing are like former G League players that we don't even know the names of. So it's been kind of crazy now. But playoffs are starting. We know who's going to be in the lineup, so it should be much easier going forward.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the salaries on daily fantasy, they'll balance out a little bit, and it's a little easier to pick the sleeper players as well.
Exactly. Especially when you know who's going to be in the lineup every night. You don't have those late scratches, of course. No one's resting in the playoffs for sure. All right, so before we jump into the playoffs here, I just want to do a quick bullet point recap of the season here. Just kind of looking at different storylines throughout the season. The big one to me, I think, that stands out is the rookies this year. Last year, the rookie of the year was Malcolm Brogdon. I guarantee if you ask 90% of casual NBA fans, they probably couldn't tell you his name because he didn't have like a great, amazing rookie season. And then you look at this year, just like the exact opposite. We've got Ben Simmons leading his Sixers to the 3 seed. We got Donovan Mitchell for the Jazz. You know, he's got his team there at the 4 seed. Jason Tatum was a big part of that Celtics, you know, team that is now the 2 seed in the East. So just kind of talk a little bit about the rookies and what you thought of this year.
Like you said, I think the rookie class is one of the better classes we've seen in a long time. Of course, led by Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. I think Ben Simmons had a great year stat wise, but I feel like Donovan Mitchell is a little more, slightly more impressive to me, just from the value of him being in the Western Conference, being the main guy on a team, and leading them to one of the top seeds, like a top 5 seed in the Western Conference. That's pretty amazing. I mean, not to take away from Ben Simmons, he had an amazing year stat wise, but when you have another superstar in the building that you could say in Joel Embiid that's budding into a potential superstar, and you're in a weaker conference, it makes your life a little easier. But don't get me wrong, Ben Simmons deserves all the hype he's getting.
Agreed. And I agree with you on Donovan Mitchell as well. I think what helped Simmons a little bit, of course, was that 1 year just kind of sitting down and sort of learning the game. I think we saw that happen with Blake Griffin a few years back, too, when he kind of sat his first year. He came out and won Rookie of the Year the following year. Mitchell to me is, you know, just amazing because they put so much pressure on this kid. He's basically replacing Gordon Hayward, who went to the Celtics. And I think I saw a stat that he is the first rookie. He's the first rookie since Carmelo Anthony to lead a playoff team in scoring, which is pretty crazy to think about. That, you know, someone is as Melo's stature, he was number three pick in the draft, and Mitchell was kind of lost in the shuffle there, picked number 7. So I think he definitely had a great season for sure.
Yeah, he definitely did. I'm interested to see what he's going to do in the playoffs. He has a big matchup coming up this weekend.
Agreed, agreed. All right, another thing we got going on, and kind of was the big storyline today, but it's been kind of going on all season, is Westbrook's unprecedented second year averaging a triple-double. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you think of this whole hubbub about him padding his stats?
I think it's amazing that he was able to get it 2 years in a row. I wouldn't have thought he would have gotten it this year with the extra help he had with Paul George, Carmelo Anthony. Even Steven Adams has taken a step forward this year. But for him to get it this year as well, it surprised me a lot. And in terms of him padding his stats, I don't know. The way the Thunder have always been since Durant left, everything, the focal point is through Westbrook. So if you're going to run it through him being a guard and with his athletic capabilities, being able to rebound and with his vision on the floor, he's going to get a lot of triple-doubles. I think that's just a product of the offense that they're running. They could run it through Paul George. Paul George has had a good year. I think one of the main reasons why Westbrook has averaged a triple-double a year, Carmelo's numbers have been really low across the board. So Westbrook just picked up that slack and then some.
Agreed 100%. I think it's funny how we have a guy like Westbrook that may or may not be padding his stats to get the triple-double. But then we've got games where, like, I think it was last season or the season before that, Klay Thompson had a ridiculous, like, first half, and they wanted him to go for, like, 80. And they took him out of the game, and everyone was pissed because they took him out of the game. Even though the game was a blowout, there's no reason for Klay Thompson to still be in the game. They took him out, and they were all upset because he didn't stay out there shooting threes. It's kind of the same situation here. I mean, Westbrook was just padding his stats to get that triple-double, whether he was or not. And I think that, you know, when you have a chance to break history, you're going to go for it 100%. And I think that that's what he did.
Yeah, I think basketball is the ultimate team game, especially when you have a teammate that seems like everyone likes as Westbrook, and that becomes a team thing as well. Like, you want to be a part of a team where you have a player average a triple-double 2 years in a row. And if all you have to do is get 20 rebounds at the end of the year and have a really high assist total, then I say you do it as a team. I mean, it's not like he had to get 40 rebounds or anything crazy like that. Like, right. I mean, you could see Westbrook getting 20 rebounds in a game even without his teammates helping him out.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's quickly get the – we're not going to go through all the NBA awards. I want to do that at a different podcast. But I just want to get your quick take on who you think the MVP is this year.
I think James Harden is the MVP. For them to have the season they did and go into the playoffs, and they're the first team in a while that actually has a – legit shot at taking down the Warriors this year. You can't take away what Harden has done. I mean, the Rockets have gone 65-17. Of course, he's the main reason why. I mean, even though if you look at the total numbers side by side, LeBron's numbers are a little better than Harden's numbers outside of points. But Harden leading a team to 65 wins in the West, you can't overlook that.
Agreed 100%. And I think he sort of gets the sympathy vote as well, because he's kind of been runner up against guys who have had career sort of record-breaking seasons. Of course, he was the runner-up the year Steph Curry won it, and they broke all kinds of records that year, had a ridiculous season. He was runner-up to that season. And, of course, he was runner-up last year when Westbrook pulled off his first triple-double season. He was sort of pushed back to the second place there. And I think this year, I think he gets the MVP vote for sure. I think Westbrook, you know, could be in that conversation still because he does have triple-double again this year. But I think when you look at the team overall, the Rockets, what they did, I think Harden sort of led that charge, and I think that he should get the MVP for sure this year.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, I mentioned earlier in the opening that the playoff season starts this Saturday. It's the longest playoff in terms of days that it spans. So we're kicking off this, you know, the middle of April. It goes through the middle of June, full 2 months of NBA playoffs. I think the NFL season is probably regular season is probably like 3 months, and the whole playoffs for NBA is like 2 months. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. It's like a whole new season, basically. So we're going to kick it off here with we're going to go series by series, just going to get some storylines and your thoughts on each one. We'll start right there with the Rockets. Rockets versus the Timberwolves. The Wolves got in on the very last day, basically a play-in game with the Nuggets. Whoever won was going to get the Rockets in the first round. Rockets lead this series four games to none. But one thing you got to remember is Jimmy Butler actually got hurt in that third game, in the third quarter. How much can Jimmy Butler change this game? If he's locking down James Harden, can he change the way that the Rockets want to play?
I think he may cause them to adjust the way they're going to play, but I feel like Harden, he's such a good player. I don't know if Butler slowing him down is going to be enough, because the Rockets are so deep. With they have Chris Paul that can score, they have Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, and what people forget, even the games where Butler was playing, the Rockets beat them by at least 18 points all the previous time. So I mean, the Rockets have proven they can blow out the Wolves even with or without Butler. But I think it'll be a good matchup. I think Butler will have his hands full. I'm more worried about with Butler having to lock down Harden, how's that going to affect his offensive game, especially since he's recovering from that injury.
That's a good call. Yeah, and actually, I think I remember in Daily Fantasy, of course, we look at matchups a lot of times, and I think everyone was kind of scared to play Harden in those first two games when Butler was there. And I believe if you played Harden those two games, you were pretty happy because Harden still had a big game. So I think that kind of carries over into the playoffs. So I don't think there's going to be a big drop-off in production for Harden. Maybe he has one bad game in the series, but overall, I think Harden is Harden. He's going to always be Harden. All right, so looking at Chris Paul, you mentioned Chris Paul. Of course, his sort of reputation right now is that he can't ever win the big games. You know, he played a little bit in New Orleans. They got, you know, they took the Lakers to a seventh game. They couldn't win it. Then, of course, he went out to L.A. and, you know, had a few bad series there. Of course, the biggest one was against the Houston Rockets. So Chris Paul now, is this his best shot to make the finals with this team?
Yeah, I was just about to say, this is probably the best shot he's had since back in 2015 when they lost to the Rockets, because they get a Timberwolves team in the first round. I kind of feel like outside of the vet, I was listening to the interview that Towns gave and how he was telling Flip Saunders when he first got there how he was going to help end the streak. It kind of gave off a vibe where the younger players in the Wolves seem like they're satisfied and they're happy that they ended that long playoff drought. So I don't know if mentally they're gonna be fully prepared for this series, because the playoffs is a whole different animal. So I feel like the Wolves are maybe still a year away, and then their potential second round matchup is against the Blazers or the Pelicans. Both teams, I know the Pelicans are your team, Jeff, but I feel like the Rockets will probably handle both of those teams pretty easily. But with that being said, if Golden State is healthy and if Curry is going, I don't know if the Rockets still have enough to beat the Warriors, because the Warriors are a machine.
Agreed, 100%. So talking about the Wolves again, in that playoff drought that they ended, you know, before Jimmy B got hurt, I think they were the 4 or 5 seeds. So they're not really your typical 8 seed. I mean, they didn't just make it into the playoffs on the last day. If Jimmy B doesn't get hurt, I think that they kind of coast in easily if he plays the whole season. So they're not the true 8 seed as you would think of an 8 seed. Is there any chance at all that the Wolves give the Rockets a run for their money? Maybe not take the series, but take it to a 6th game.
It's going to be tough. I actually have the Rockets in 5. I think they'll win both in Houston. They'll split in Minnesota, and I think Rockets will close them out. I just feel like the Wolves are very top heavy with their scoring. They're going to need Jamal Crawford's going to have a couple of big games off the bench for them to extend it past 5. But I just feel like with the depth and the veterans on that Rockets team, I just think they're going to move on pretty quickly from Minnesota.
Fair enough. I think I have the Wolves actually pushing it to 6. I think the Jimmy B factor comes into effect. I do think he will show up in the playoffs. This is why they brought him in here. I think they're able to sneak out 2 games. So I've got the Rockets in 6 games. It's going to be a good series. I think it'll be tightly contested. Even if it ends up being a sweep, I don't think there's going to be blowout after blowout after blowout. I think it'll be a tight game each game. It'll come down to the end. It'll be a good first round series for a 1 and an 8 that we've seen. Usually you get the 1 and 8s and, you know, basically it's going to be a sweep and they're just biding their time for the next round. But I think it'll be a decent series to watch.
Yeah, I think so too. Thibodeau's going to have to let the Wolves run a little bit, get some points up, because I don't think they're going to be able to win one of those low scoring drag out games like he did back in the Chicago days.
Agreed. All right. The next series we got here, you mentioned a little bit earlier about the Warriors. Warriors get the Spurs. The Warriors as a 2 seed going into this series without Steph Curry. They did win the season series with the Spurs 3-1. The biggest storyline to me that stands out is sort of the mentor and the student. You got Popovich, of course, is the mentor, and then you got Steve Kerr as the student, and the student's kind of gotten the best of Pop over the last couple years. What do you think of this coaching matchup? Do you think Pop got anything in store that he can sort of pull one over on Kerr?
I feel Pop, he has a chance to steal a couple of games from the Spurs just because, I mean, from the Warriors, excuse me. They're going to have to, because, you know, Popovich does a really good job of shutting down or slowing down the other team's best players. So without Curry there, I'm pretty sure a lot of their focus is going to be on Durant. And they have a couple of guys on the wing, Kyle Anderson, mainly, that can get out there and defend Durant some. They're really going to have to focus their offense through LaMarcus Aldridge. Aldridge is going to have to have a huge series. I think Popovich is the coach to pull that off and set up some plays and get the defense going where they can slow the Warriors down some. But I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Yeah, I agree. I think even without Curry, I think that they're still loaded there. Speaking of the injury to Curry, of course, you know, he's gone for the first series at minimum. Kawhi Leonard has been out of the lineup pretty much the entire season. I think he came back for a few games, got hurt again, went back out. Which of these two teams do you think misses their star more? I mean, Curry has been out for a few games now, but they're used to having Curry in the playoffs, whereas the Spurs have basically played the whole season without Leonard. Do you think they're a little bit used to playing without Leonard, and you think it doesn't hurt them as much, or do you think it still hurts them in the playoffs?
I still think it hurts them in the playoffs. When you take Leonard off the Spurs team, they go from a 55-plus win team, and they drop down pretty significantly out of that. And I think in the way this series is going to go, the Warriors, with Leonard out, the Warriors are going to have three of the top four players on the court when that game tips off. Because you have Durant, Thompson, and Draymond Green on one side for the Warriors, then you have LaMarcus Aldridge out of those top four players. They're all three of the four on the other team, so it's going to be tough. They're definitely going to miss Leonard more than the Warriors would miss Curry.
Agreed. I think that you got to have superstars in the playoffs, and they really don't have one other than LaMarcus Aldridge, and he can't do it all himself. I think you got to have a Robin to the Batman, and I think LMA is the Batman. He ain't got a Robin right now, so it's kind of going to hurt them in the playoffs for sure. There was a tweet that I saw from a friend of the show. Damian Adams has a podcast called The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Check him out on Twitter. He said that Kevin Durant is the Warriors' best player, but Steph Curry is their most important player. Do you buy that?
I can agree with that. I feel like Steph Curry is the heartbeat of that team. He's the elder statesman in terms of years on the team, and I feel like the players look up to him more in terms of emotion than they do Durant. Than they do for Durant. Nothing against KD, but I feel like Curry's the leader of that team, and he's the emotion behind that team. And because Curry's so dynamic with his range and his shooting and the things that he can do on the floor. Don't get me wrong, Durant's one of the top players in the league, but Curry's such a unique player. And with his time there, I feel like he's the soul of the Warriors team more than Durant is.
I agree. I think because Curry's been there since the beginning. He was there when they were bad, and they sort of built their team from scratch, you know, through the draft, and they got Kevin Durant sort of last year as a free agent. But I think Curry is that heart of the team. I think without him, they can't win the finals. If they get there, if for some reason Curry doesn't come back, they're not going to win, I don't believe. But you never know. Maybe he doesn't come back and they end up, Kevin Durant takes over and whatever. But I think without Steph Curry, they're going to struggle a little bit if they get into those later rounds without Steph Curry.
Yeah, I believe that as well. But luckily for the Warriors, he's scheduled to come back in the next round. So let's just hope, just from an entertainment standpoint, that he's back and he's healthy, because it'll make the later rounds pretty interesting watching them play.
Agreed. All right, so who's winning this series and how many games?
I feel like it's going to be Warriors in five. I think Popovich should be able to squeeze one game out. If Curry was available, I'd say the Warriors would sweep. We got to keep Zaza away from Aldridge, though.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm with you. I think Warriors in five. I think each game will be contested. I think it'll be a little bit closer than last year's series when Kawhi went down in game one and the rest of the games were all blowouts. I think they were kind of shell-shocked that they lost Kawhi Leonard and just could never recover from that. I think playing all season without him, having LMA play the way he did all season, basically took that team on his shoulders and carried him to the playoffs. I think they get at least one game. I think each game will be close, though, and come down to the wire. But, yeah, Warriors in five for me as well.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the next series here. We've got the Trailblazers, who were the three seed basically almost the whole season, and then lost it for a brief second and then won it back on the last game against the Jazz. So they're the three seed. My Pels are the six seed. These two teams split the season series. But the Pels kind of ended the season with the five-game win streak. You know, they needed to win a bunch of games to stay in the playoffs because that race was so tight down there that you can go from being the four seed to being out of the playoffs literally in one night. But the Blazers kind of faltered down the stretch there. That other than that last game, they kind of fell down to the fourth seed. That last game they ended up winning, but they weren't their best. Does that any of that carry over into the playoffs, you think?
I think in terms of carrying over, I think it's different when you're talking about momentum heading to the playoffs based on the type of team you have. I think if you have a young team with not a lot of experience, then you want them to go into the postseason with some confidence, like how the Sixers are with their 15-game winning streak going in. I think it's good for a team like them. But a team like the Blazers that has a decent amount of playoff experience from their top players, I'm not too concerned about their losses heading into the playoffs. Plus, two of their more recent losses were against the Spurs and the Nuggets, two teams that were fighting for their playoff lives, and the Blazers were kind of, I don't want to say they were in cruise control, but there was a little less incentive to give full effort into those games towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's definitely a good point, because they pretty much had a large lead there for a while. You just thought they were going to coast to that three seed, and then the Jazz just went on a ridiculous, like, I don't know, 15, 16-game win streak and sort of closed that gap pretty quickly, so... definitely, I think the Blazers, you know, deserve that three seed. And I think going into the playoffs, I do think that they are their favorite. You know, much as I want to say my Pels are the favorite, they'll be the favorite going in. They got more experience. But, you know, my Pels have been there before. We were there a couple years ago. We got swept by the Warriors. Going into this series, though, who do you think has more on the line, Anthony Davis or Damian Lillard? Because I think both players have been kind of great players in this league, and both of them haven't been able to win in the playoffs much. You know, Lillard had a few successes back when he had LMA, but since then hasn't had much success. Who do you think is more important in this series? Or who do you think the series is more important for, Davis or Lillard?
I want to say Anthony Davis, but that would have been prior to the DeMarcus Cousins injury. Because I feel like as long as the Pelicans can win at least two games out of this series, I think Davis will get a little more of a pass because of the injuries that have happened to the Pelicans this year. But I feel like in terms of their career, I feel like this is a little more on Lillard, because Lillard needs to show that with his, now that the Blazers are in a position where they're considered a favorite in a series, and they have to go out there and show why they're the favorite. And for them to lose to a Pelicans team that's missing one of their top players, that will put a little bit of a dent in Lillard's early career.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed 100%. I think the Pelicans sort of have that, and I don't want to say excuse, but they have sort of that built-in excuse with DeMarcus Cousins going down so early in the season, and they, you know, kind of pulled together and actually played better down the stretch. I mean, Davis was dominant in some of those games. I mean, he was just doing ridiculous numbers. I know, like I said, you play daily fantasy, and he had games where I think he flirted with 100, you know, fantasy points, which was just a crazy amount of points. So, yeah, definitely, I think Lillard, because he's been in the league a little bit longer, I think has a little bit more riding on it. I think, you know, the rumors and the whispers will start happening if he can't win in the first round again, if Davis somehow figures out a way to win this series. So I think Lillard, if he loses this series, it's to be a bigger deal for him than it will be for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I think the only way you can make it a bigger deal for Anthony Davis in this series is if the Pelicans go out and get swept.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It'll be squarely on Davis's shoulders, but I think in terms of winning the series, Lillard definitely has more pressure on him.
Agreed. All right, well, Lillard and McCollum sort of make up that, you know, that one of the best backcourt duos in the league. You know, and how far they go in the playoffs will depend on those two guys. But there is a third guy that they kind of completed their team, Nurkic. They picked him up last year. He came on like gangbusters early on, then sort of faded away. But lately he's been really good again. And he'll be kind of key there because he'll be defending Anthony Davis, of course. How effective do you think Nurkic can be guarding Anthony Davis, and how important is it for him to be able to score as well with Anthony Davis guarding him?
I feel like Nurkic is definitely going to be the key to slowing down Anthony Davis in this series. I feel like Davis is probably going to look to attack Nurkic a little more off the dribble and more so on the perimeter because Davis's shot has improved a lot over the last couple of seasons. Nurkic, he's going to have to get Davis in a little bit of foul trouble. The only problem is now that the Pelicans, they have Mirotić in their lineup, there's really nowhere that Nurkic could hide in terms of going against a bigger, slower player. So Nurkic is going to be a little out of his comfort zone this series.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, having Mirotić out there shooting threes is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough matchup on both sides because I think we struggle to defend the guards, you know, and they've got two great guards. Now, granted, we got Holiday, which I think one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. But Rondo is not what he used to be as far as the defender goes. And, of course, he'll be defending Lillard most of the game. McCullough, of course, can shoot as well. He's a pretty good player as well. So I think it'll be tough. You know, we have the inside. They have the outside. So it'll be a game of wills for, you know, of whoever can impose their will on the other team for sure. Who do you got in this series? How many games?
I have Blazers in six games. I think if they're going to be competitive games, I think the Blazers will pull it out in six.
Well, I think the Blazers are favored, but I can't go against my Pels. I'm taking my Pels in seven games. We'll beat them on their home floor for game seven to move on to the next round.
That's just... I'm not surprised to hear that from you.
I can't go against them. They don't get the playoffs very often. I'm not going to pick against them in the playoffs.
All right. I can't blame you on that.
All right, so the last series we have in the West is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz. The Thunder lead the season series 3-1. We talked about him earlier. The phenom, Donovan Mitchell, sort of leading the Jazz. The Thunder, of course, have sort of a who's of superstars. They got Russell Westbrook. Paul George is there. Carmelo Anthony is there. So it's a bit of a different look for them. You know, Mitchell's sort of the young guy coming in. Even Gobert is young. It's a very young team. Then you got these superstar guys that everybody knows their names. How much does that come into play in the series with the talent that OKC has compared to the young talent that the Jazz have?
I think it comes in. It's a big deal in the playoffs based on the fact that the Thunder, they have two players that can completely take over a game if need be in Westbrook and Paul George, where the Jazz don't really have that person that can just will them to victory. Mitchell can be that guy. But he's not ready just yet. The Jazz are more of the sum is better than their parts type of team. If the game is close, I trust Westbrook and George a lot more than I do any player on the Jazz.
Agreed. I think Mitchell has had some pretty good endings to some of the games. But playoff basketball is a whole different animal. I don't know if he's quite ready for that yet. I think that you're right. I think coming down the stretch, if I had to pick between, you know, Westbrook, Paul George, or Mitchell to take the last shot, you know, I'm taking one of the Thunder guys for sure. Now, as far as the finals go, let's kind of look down the road here. A lot of experts have one of these two teams as their sort of dark horse candidate to make the Western Conference Finals. Do you think either one of these has a chance to knock off? I'm not sure what bracket they're in, if they're going to play the Warriors or they'll play the Houston Rockets, but do you think they have a chance to make the Western Conference Finals?
I think the Thunder would have a better chance than the Jazz do, just because the Thunder have a lot more playoff experience. They're a more talented team. But I think at the same time, we can also agree the Thunder, based on their talent, they've underachieved a little bit this year.
Agreed.
So I don't see either of these teams winning in the second round, because I feel like neither of these teams really have the depth to get it done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's sort of, you know, nice to say that they can possibly make it there, but really if they could have made it there, they would have been a higher seed. I think basically like 4-8, I think basically had the same record all year. So I think that these two teams probably could have, you know, been a better, especially with the Thunder. I think you're right. They should have been better than they were, but you know, it is what it is at this point. I think that it's a nice story. I think that, you know, going second round, whoever it is, will be a nice story, but that's all it's going to be, is a nice story.
Yeah, because they'll be whoever wins this round has Houston next, most likely. I don't see Houston losing to Minnesota in the first round. So it's going to be tough with the depth that Houston has.
Agreed. So Ricky Rubio, of course, plays for the Jazz now. This is his first taste of the playoffs. How important is he to the Jazz to have success, or is he important at all?
I think he's important in the fact that he's going to have to continue to score. His scoring has gone up this year. He's always been a good passer, although his assists are down a little bit this year. Probably has to do with his scoring going up. I've always seen Rubio as a better defender off the ball in terms of him playing the passing lanes and getting steals. He's going to have a big series and really step up in a first-round matchup with Oklahoma City. And I'm sure he's going to play more than the 29 minutes he averaged during the regular season.
Agreed. And I saw one stat, too, that kind of threw me as well, is I think since January 24th, Ricky Rubio is averaging 46% from three-point land, which his biggest knock has always been he can't shoot from the outside. So if that's a legit, you know, sort of trend, if he can keep that up and knock down those threes, it'll go a long way to helping his team win this game or this series.
Yeah, he's going to have to carry it over because I'm pretty sure the Thunder have their game plan set up to allow Rubio to take as many shots from the perimeter as they can give him. It's funny. I remember when Rubio was in Minnesota and he wouldn't even want to shoot it more than 15 feet away from the basket. So yep. It's good to see him step up and improve his game as he's gotten a little older.
Definitely. All right. So who do you got in this game? How many games?
I have the Thunder and have the Thunder in six in this series.
Thunder in six.
It could be five depending on how well. I feel like if Melo has a big series and he's playing well, I feel like it'll be over five. But if Melo's kind of trudging along like he has this year, I feel like the Jazz could steal a couple just because the Thunder are very top heavy. So I feel like the Jazz, if either Westbrook or George has an off night shooting, I feel like the Jazz can steal an extra game in this series.
Yeah, I think for me, I think it comes down to the guys that we haven't even talked about yet, the two big men. I think Rudy Gobert and Steven Adams down low will be a matchup to watch. I think they both kind of, they're sort of the rebounders, they're the shot blockers, they're sort of the dirt players, so to speak. And I think that matchup will sort of decide the series. I think whatever player has the bigger series will be the team that wins. And I think Steven Adams, with his experience, I think he gets the best of Rudy Gobert. I love Steven Adams. He's just a man down there. And I play Daily Fantasy, and I love picking him on my team because he gets all the scrappy plays. He gets all the rebounds. He's not, you know, not afraid to bang down there low. And I love watching him play. He's just a monster. And I think that if he can do what he's been doing all season, I think that he can help the Thunder take this in six.
Yeah, he's really stepped up. But I feel like the Jazz, they're gonna need Gobert to stay out of foul trouble and protect the rim. But I feel like the Thunder are really gonna try to take him out of the game early. But like you said, Steven Adams, he's going to have a big series rebounding. He's going to have to rebound the ball well, defend around the paint well. It's going to be interesting to see him down low against Gobert.
Definitely. All right, before we get to the Eastern Conference, we'll take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll break down the series in the East.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
Today's show is brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. They have everything you need to build better lineups. You can analyze stats, view up-to-the-minute Vegas lines, check player game logs, import and manage your own projections, build optimal lineups, and a bankroll tracker. To get started for free, visit goingfor2.com/dailyfantasynerd. That's goingfor2.com/dailyfantasynerd. Start winning today.
For the block, boy. Take it rough. It's been the same old thing on my block. You either working or you're slanging cocaine on my block. You had to hustle.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Brandon Bailey, formerly of goingfor2.com. We're talking NBA playoffs. We've kind of talked about the Western Conference already, moving on to the Eastern Conference. We'll start right here at the top with the Raptors and the Wizards. I know me and you both live in the Washington, D.C. area, so we hear a lot about the Wizards. They split the series this year, 2-2. Now, the Raptors have kind of taken advantage of some injuries with Boston, you know, that sort of midseason turmoil of the Cavs, and they sort of emerged here as the number one seed. And all four of their games with the Wizards were pretty tightly contested games. You know, they both split, but they were pretty close games. How important is the home court for the Raptors in this series?
I mean, typically for a number one seed or a top-ranked team, I feel like home court is important. But if you look at the Raptors' playoff history, when they've had home court, they've given it away in game one every single time. Like, I was looking at their history a little earlier. Only one time in their franchise history have they ever won the first game of the series, and that was back in 2001 in the conference semifinals against the Philadelphia 76ers, and that was way back when I was in high school. I think the Raptors' home court advantage, it more so comes into play towards the end of series, because they typically tend to do pretty well in game seven. But, I mean, I could easily see the Raptors dropping game one again, because that's just been their, it's been their history.
It's kind of their MO right there. I think that 2001 team, I think, was that Vince Carter? Was he still there?
That was the last year Carter and McGrady were together, I believe.
Yep. I think that sounds about right. All right. So the Wizards this year, kind of the same thing as the Western Conference. I don't know if they're a true number eight seed, because they were without John Wall for a good portion of the season. Of course, they ended up with the eighth seed, but they played the Raptors pretty well, not just this year, but just in general. I think 2 years ago, they actually beat them in the playoffs. Is there any chance that we can have the rare number eight seed over the number one seed?
I mean, there's a good chance it could happen in this series, because the Wizards, despite the Wizards playing pretty poorly this year based on their expectations, and they've lost to a lot of bad teams this year. Just watching, I mean, they're not my favorite team, but just watching them throughout the years, they're always on TV. They've had some pretty ugly losses, but it seems like they play really well against top competition. So I don't see them beating Toronto in the series, but I think this series will go the distance, and the Wizards, they'll put themselves in good position to possibly make it happen.
Yeah, the Wizards, ironically, you know, because me and you both live in the D.C. area, and we know that the Capitals are good every year, the Nationals are good every year, and then they always falter in the playoffs. The Wizards are kind of the opposite. They sort of struggle through the regular season. They get into the playoffs, and they're a different team. They usually play much better in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. They sort of step up to the playoff, you know, pressures, whereas the Nationals and Capitals seem to crumble underneath it. So I think the Wizards will give the Raptors a run for their money, and I'm actually going to pick them in this series to win it in seven. I think the Wizards go to Toronto game seven and take this series from them in surprise. I think that it'll be a number eight over a number one series.
Yeah, actually, I heard on the I was listening to the radio earlier. I didn't realize this, but the Wizards had a chance to move up to the seven if they had beaten Orlando the other night, and since Milwaukee lost. But they didn't do it. They're saying the Wizards love that competition, and they think they dropped the game on purpose just so they could take the harder route to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I'd much rather play the Celtics without Kyrie Irving than play Toronto at full strength.
Yeah, I feel the series is going to go seven, but I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I think the Raptors will win game seven, just because for some reason DeRozan and Lowry seem to really show up in that game seven atmosphere. I remember when they took out my Heat a couple of years ago in a game seven. I was pretty upset about that. But I feel like the Raptors will find a way to get it done, and they'll squeak by this first round series.
Yeah, I'm picking with my heart on this one. I know I had my Western Conference heart picked with my Pelicans, but having the Wizards in the playoffs is kind of a good thing for this DC area. So I like to see them make it the second round. It gets the excitement level up, and it's fun to watch them, because we get, you know, we watch them all year long because we live in this area. So maybe I'm just picking with my heart there, and I want to mix the second round, but you're probably right. Raptors probably win the series in seven.
Yeah, I'm the jaded DC area guy. I see these local teams getting the playoffs, and I'm just like, it's gonna be the same old stuff. They'll look good for a couple of games. At the end of the day, you know what's gonna happen. Everybody's heart's gonna be broken.
Yeah, yep. You're right. They're gonna get excited, and it's gonna be the same thing. All right, moving on to the next series here. We've got the Celtics and the Bucks that you just mentioned. The Celtics do get the number two seed. They lost Kyrie Irving for the entire season, which is really going to hurt them. And everyone's kind of written them off now that they don't have Kyrie Irving. Of course, they also lost Gordon Hayward very early on in the season. Is there any way at all that the Celtics can win this series?
I think so. I mean, they're going to have the Greek Freak. He's going to get his. I really don't think they're really going to have much of an answer for him. I think if the Celtics can shut down either Bledsoe or Middleton, they're going to have to hold one of them under control. If they're able to stop one of those two and make them focus more on Greek Freak and either Bledsoe or Middleton, then I feel the Celtics have a shot. Just even though they're missing Irving, they were one of the top teams all year, and their numbers are pretty good. So it's going to take a lot.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Celtics could win this series for sure. I think the Bucks. I don't think the Bucks are quite there yet. I think that they're a good team. They're just not a good enough team to beat the Celtics, even without Kyrie Irving. I think, like you said, Giannis will get his. I think in the regular season, he averaged like 33 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists per game, which is just ridiculous. I think it was his second highest average against any team. I think he averaged more against Cleveland. But other than that, this is the team he played the best against. But I think you're right. I think that they'll let him do his thing, sort of like let everyone, you know, shut everyone else down, let him do his thing, and he can't beat them on his own. So I think the Greek Freak, as everybody calls him because they can't say his name, I think we'll have an awesome series. But do you think that this is sort of the series that sort of puts him on the map? You know, he, for us, you know, us NBA fans, we all know who he is. You know, he's a potential, you know, MVP candidate coming up in the future. He's going to be the next big superstar. But is this sort of his coming out party? Is this when he's going to show the world that he's one of these great players?
Yeah, I think he will. Playing against a team that has such the history and the name of the Celtics, that's really going to help, because a lot of eyes are going to be on this series, and I feel he's going to have a monster series.
Agreed. I think if he can do what he did in the regular season, people will definitely take notice of this guy. All right, so who are you picking in this series? How many games?
This is one of the harder series to pick, but I feel the Celtics are a little deeper. I feel like they'll get it done. I feel like this is one that'll go. I feel like the series will go 7 as well. But I feel like the Celtics will get it done in 7.
Yeah, I think I'm going with you on that as well. I think it's going to come down to coaching, and I would rather have the Celtics coach over the Bucks coach right now. I just think that it's going to be a tight series. I think it'll be a very good series, probably one of the better series as far as the matchup goes. And I think even though the Celtics don't have Kyrie Irving, I think that they do find a way to sort of move on and beat the Bucks. The Bucks don't have an identity yet. I think firing Jason Kidd midseason sort of messed them up a little bit. I mean, they ended up, you know, making the playoffs, but I think, you know, when you fire a coach midseason, it's never a good thing. So I think that the Boston Celtics do make this the next series for sure. I'm taking them in 7.
All right. It's gonna be a great series. That's one of the top ones I'm looking forward to. I think we know, we haven't gotten to it yet, but you know what series I'm looking forward to the most in this one.
Yep, definitely. And speaking of that series, let's go ahead and get to that series now. The number 3 seeded Sixers versus your Miami Heat. They split the season series as well, 2-2. So the Sixers, you know, they had the process, which is sort of the big thing that everyone wants to talk about. Does being the 3 seed, just that alone, making the playoffs, does that sort of justify the process, you think?
I feel like the process was justified with them making a playoff, just making the playoffs at all this year, because they built up their team. They literally started from the ground up, and it's shown that if you have the patience to do what the Sixers did, their fans, you know, Philly fans are great, even though they give you a hard time, they still love all their teams to death. I think the most important part about this is that the Sixers made the right picks. Because if you look at what the Cavaliers did after LeBron left, they were picking Anthony Bennett, Andrew Wiggins, who we can all agree, like, for him being a top pick, he has not lived up to the pick that he was picked at. So it goes to show you that if you can do this, but the most important thing is you have to make the right draft pick.
Agreed, 100%. All right, so going into the playoffs, the Sixers right now are the hottest team. I think they're on a 16-game winning streak right now. And they played most of that without Joel Embiid, who's supposed to be back for the playoffs. But how important is Embiid to the Sixers going forward if they want to make it deep into the playoffs?
I think he's very important because I think one thing we know about the Sixers, their weakness is that they're not the best jump shooting team in the league. I mean, outside of Redick and Bellinelli, like they're star players and Simmons and Fultz, they don't shoot the ball very well. So they need Embiid down there, getting the attention of the post players down low and sucking in those wing defenders to open up a few more driving lanes or just give the Sixers shooters uncontested shots. Because if Embiid's not down there, the teams, especially Miami, that has a lot of athletes on the wing, they can lock down those perimeters and force bad jump shots. And of course, you have Whiteside waiting in the paint for anyone who decides to drive. So it's going to be really important for Embiid to come back and play well.
Agreed. And I think I heard that he's going to be wearing a mask, I believe, in at least the first round. So we'll see how that goes. Some players can use it. Some players, you know, wear it for a while and then they throw it off and just don't like it because they can't play with it. So we'll see how he does with that mask on.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a process to get that mask off in the playoffs.
All right, on the Heat side of things, a lot was made of the Hassan Whiteside sort of media blow up, where he wasn't getting minutes. He was being pulled out in the fourth quarter. They were playing matchups. He kind of mentioned that they should be matching up to him, not the other way around. How important is he for the Heat going forward? And is he their best or most important player? If not, who is it?
Well, I know you brought up the end of game situations. I kind of feel like there are a combination of different things going on because, I mean, it's been known Whiteside does have a history of playing a little lazy on pick and rolls. He's good down low if people are coming right at him, but if he has to be on the perimeter playing pick and rolls, he's not the best at defending the pick and roll. But at the same time, if Whiteside is at that level where I feel like he's one of those post players where you do have to. You have to match up to him. You don't take him out in bigger games. But I feel like the main problem was when the Heat were doing that, they weren't winning those games. I feel like if they were winning those games, it could have been justified. But I feel like he's one of the most important players. But I feel like in order for the Heat to win this series, they're going to need a big series from Dragic because they need that play from their guard position to match up with what the Sixers are going to be doing. And I feel like Wade is going to be Wade in the playoffs, even though he's coming off the bench. He's not the player he once was. But if it's 2 minutes left in the game and it's a one-possession game, there aren't many people in the league I wouldn't want controlling the ball besides Wade.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's the Heat are kind of interesting, too, because they don't really have that sort of one player that you're like, okay, this is, this is their identity. This is who they are. They kind of are all just, good players. They're just, great. No one's great. They're all just really good players. And I think that sort of helps that, mentality that, if Wade can just sort of get that shot towards the end of the game, I think that, they have that sort of killer instinct with Wade being there, whereas before they probably didn't have it.
Yeah, I think Wade's going to pay his dues now that the playoffs are going. His minutes are going to go up a little bit, but he's going to be there when it counts. He's going to make those plays towards the end when it matters.
Definitely. All right, we got one more series to talk about here, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. We've got the number 4 seed, Cleveland Cavaliers, which I would have to go back and look this up, but that may be the lowest seed that LeBron James has ever been in the playoffs, at least since he started winning championships. I could be wrong on that, but it just seems like he's always the number 1 or the number 2 seed, so the number 4 seed going up against the Indiana Pacers, who were probably a really big surprise team. No one thought that they'd be any good this year. Pacers actually lead the season series 3-1. So with the Pacers being such a big surprise team, what has to happen, you think, in this series for the Pacers to make it a series?
They're going to have to take advantage of the post play down low with Turner and Sabonis. They're going to have a big game down low because even back when LeBron was playing with Miami when they were playing the Pacers, like Roy Hibbert would have those huge games. And even though Paul George was carrying that team, Hibbert's presence was what really gave Miami fits back then. And Cleveland's a similar team as they were in Miami. They're top heavy with LeBron, but their post play is pretty weak. I mean, Love's been a little better, but everyone knows his defense isn't his forte. So I think if the Pacers can handle down low with Turner, Sabonis, and even Thaddeus Young having some big games, then they should make it more competitive.
Agreed. So with LeBron James and the amount of miles that he puts on his legs, I mean, they're in the finals pretty much every year, so he's playing more minutes than any other player out there. How important it is for him going forward to make this series as short as possible to get the rest?
I mean, I don't know if it's really important for LeBron. LeBron is like that rare freak of nature. I think he could go 6 or 7 in this series and be okay, because I feel like against Toronto, even if Toronto makes it past Washington, I feel like they have Toronto's number. I think they're in Toronto's head. So I don't know if them having a short series is as much as a priority. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the Eastern Conference, and I feel whoever wins that Philly Miami series is going to be the team that's going to give LeBron the biggest headaches in this postseason.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's a good call there, because I actually think that the Sixers give them a pretty good run for their money as well. Looking at the Pacers side of things, of course, we got Victor Oladipo, who was kind of written off after last season. You know, he's traded from the Magic over to the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was not very good there. Him and Westbrook did not work out. Of course, he landed now in Indiana, his hometown, and sort of just blew up. I mean, he's probably one of the most improved players right now in the NBA. His numbers-wise, you know, he's near superstardom as far as his numbers look. If he has a good showing in the playoffs here against the Cavs, you know, who everyone's going to be watching, can he sort of make that leap into superstardom?
I think he could, but I don't know. Because, you know, with the NBA, superstardom is a combination of your skill on the court and your marketability off of it. I feel like Oladipo's a really good player, but I feel like throughout his career he's gonna be one of those guys who's a really good player, but he's not gonna get the love that he should from the casual NBA fan.
Agreed, and I think the market he plays in will play a part in that. Well, if he was doing this in New York or Boston or LA, I think it'd be a different story. But he's in Indiana, which is a good basketball town, don't get me wrong. I just don't think it has the same, you know, global appeal as some of the other big cities do. So I think that, you know, he can sort of be like that, you know, like kind of like what Paul George did a few years ago, where he sort of made a name for himself. If he, you know, has a good showing here, I think everyone will kind of take notice of Oladipo, which probably, you know, most casual fans, I would probably say most fans that watch when playoffs come around and don't watch regular season, probably don't think Oladipo's that good of a player, but he's been really phenomenal this year for the Pacers, and he's the reason that they're in this playoffs altogether, because I don't think anyone picked them to be in the playoffs to start the season.
Yeah, I feel like in terms of superstardom, he's gonna need to string together another year or two of him making the playoffs and making noise in order for his name to really grow. Because I like players like Anthony Davis. Players like him, like, even though that he hasn't had a lot of success, he's such a dynamic player that he's able to build that marketability on his own. But Oladipo, he's one of those blue collar type guys that comes in, does his job, and he's going to need to have another year or two of success to build on his popularity, because when he first came in the league, he was on some pretty bad teams.
Yep, agreed. All right, who you got winning this series and how many games?
I have the Cavs winning in 6, because even though the Pacers took 3 out of 4, there's been so many years where LeBron has lost 3 out of 4 to Paul George in the regular season. He's lost 3 out of 4 to the Garnett Celtics during the regular season. But for some reason, when the playoffs come around, he always gets it done. And I don't think we mentioned it in the series before we had talked about it. I do have the Heat beating the Sixers in 6 games.
Oh, you're right. I apologize. I forgot to ask you about that. So you got the Heat in 6 over the Sixers. I have the Sixers over the Heat in 6. So I think the Sixers move on to the next round. With the Cavs and Pacers, I'm actually picking this as my first sweep. I think the Pacers are in the playoffs because of Oladipo. I think that, you know, they are a great story. I don't think they match up with the Cavs at all. I think that the Cavs are just now getting healthy. they're getting their, you know, their key pieces that they sort of added in the midseason and sort of into involved in the offense. I think Nance has been a pretty good addition. I think Jordan Clarkson, if he can sort of get his little off the bench game back, I think he'll be a good addition in the playoffs. And I think that the Cavs just have a little bit too much for the Pacers. The Pacers will be a little bit outmatched, and I think that they do get swept. They'll have a good showing, but they will get swept in the playoffs, I believe.
All right, I disagree with you. I think the Pacers will win two games. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they have to steal one early on. They have to steal one of those two games in Cleveland to start, but I know they'll definitely get one in Indiana.
I tell you what, though, if the first round goes the way that me and you've just called it, with like pretty much no sweeps, I know I picked the last series to be a sweep. You know, it'll be good for me. I love that. You know, I love the more basketball played, the better. I think the last few years, this first round has been kind of terrible. It's just been sweep after sweep after sweep, and it's just been until you get to that finals, you know, that conference finals, it wasn't really a good playoff. I think if we can get some good series in this first round and set the tone for the rest of the playoffs, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, this is probably one of the more competitive playoff brackets we've had in the last few years. But I don't know. I feel like at the end of the day, we might end up with the same two teams that we've ended up with for the previous two seasons when it's all said and done. It'll be a more interesting road getting to that point. But it still looks like we're looking at Cleveland, Golden State coming out of it at the end of when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I think the road there will be what I enjoy the most. I hope for every series to go seven games. I want as much basketball played as possible. I'm just one of those basketball junkies, and I just want to watch every game go to seven because nothing like a seventh game to watch. All right, well, in closing here, let me just quick get your pick here for the finals. So do you have the Cavs and Warriors in the finals? And if you do, who do you have winning the series?
I feel like it's going to end up being Cavs and Warriors again. Just because when it comes down to it, in the East, like LeBron in the playoffs, he's a whole different animal. And I don't see Indiana getting it done. I don't see Toronto getting it done. And I know, surprise, surprise, I think it's going to be Heat Cavs in the conference finals. I think LeBron will get past Miami. And I just feel like Golden State, they're just going to be too. If Curry comes back, Golden State will get to the finals again. And I think it's going to be another quick series. I think Golden State beats Cleveland 5 in the finals.
I'm actually going to go a little bit against the grain on this one as well. I'm going to take Cavs in the East. I just think that, you know, it is what it is. Like you just said, they're just better than everybody else in the East. And there's just no way around it. But I'm actually going to put the Rockets in the finals. And, you know, that's sort of, again, picking with my heart, not with my head. But the Rockets have been playing, you know, just crazy basketball. Harden's had some of the best, you know, games of, you know, in history. I think he had a 50-point triple-double and, you know, just crazy stats that he's been putting up. And I think that team is primed and ready to go. I think that they do beat the Warriors. I think that the home court will come into play there. I think that it'll probably go 7, but it'll be in Houston. And I think that they'll be able to take that series. And then if it does end up with Houston and Cavs, I think the Cavs actually can beat Houston, believe it or not. I think the Cavs will get another championship, another ring for LeBron. So I'm going to take the Cavs, actually, which is against the grain. I know everyone's going to pick either the Warriors or the Houston Rockets, but I'm going to take the Cavs.
Yeah, I can agree with you with the Cavs over Houston. I can see Cleveland taking care of Houston if they do make it to the finals, but I don't see Houston beating Golden State with a healthy Curry. If Curry comes back and he's close to the player that he normally is, I don't see the Rockets getting past them.
Fair enough. All right, man, that wraps up the podcast for tonight. Brandon, thanks again for coming on, man. I know we had a little bit of scheduling issues, but we were able to get this done finally, and I appreciate you coming on, man.
All right, thanks for having me. It's always great being on the show.
All right, man, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you.
All right, you too.
All right, Facebook Live is on.